Hey, Ding Dongs, I'm Jamie.
I'm Richard.
And this is Explain It to Jamie, the podcast that was recently nominated Greatest Podcast in the Universe by these two men sitting in this room alone.
It's us.
Yay!
Congratulations, Jamie. You've won the Us Award that we just made.
Yeah, thanks, Richard. I couldn't have done it without you. And of course, me, because that makes us. Just joking.
None of that happened.
Explain It to Jamie is a political comedy podcast in which I, Jamie, a innocent but curious young man, have the complicated political happenings of the world explained to me by my buddy Richard, and sometimes we make jokes about poo and butts.
And occasionally, poo in butts.
Yes. But only once every sometime.
If we're lucky. All right. So, Jamie, what is it you want to have explained to you this week?
I want to learn about the FBI.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
Why would you want to learn about that? That's what.
Got really suspicious all of
a sudden. No, that's crazy. What are you talking about? Wait. I'm just a normal guy. There's no way I could be part of a deep FBI intelligence operation to learn more about the secrets of your beard.
Checks out.
Hey, before we get into the episode,
yeah.
Tell me, your beard,
yes.
When you grow it, do you grow it in contact with ISIS?
Why are you speaking into that cactus?
What is cactus? What are you talking about? That's crazy. Why would I be speaking into cactus?
Cactus? I don't know.
That's crazy,
cactuses.
Dog. You're being crazy right now. Okay, no, seriously, though. We're going to learn about the FBI
today. The FBI.
So why do you want to learn about the FBI, Jamie?
Well, they're... You know, this whole Trump debacle that's been going on, the FBI comes in every second paragraph. You know, they're mm-hmm. either being investigated or they're investigating somebody. And I want to know what exactly they are, what their job is.
Right.
And maybe just like one or two of their secrets.
Okay.
Yeah? You got them?
I mean... If I was a secret FBI agent, in theory, I suppose I could do that. But since I'm not that,
you can't.
I can't do that. So I guess this episode should.
But maybe you can tell us about things that you're not supposed to talk about as a secret FBI agent if you were one.
I may take the shot.
I knew it was you, Cactus. I knew it was you.
That's right. It's not a microphone. It's a guy in a suit. You're going down. You're going to the clink for a long time, Kavanaugh.
The clink?
That's what FBI people call prison.
Yeah, in 1926.
Gotcha. It's not actually 2017. It is 1926. It's been an FBI psyop all along.
The FBI controls time.
That's right. And space.
Morty. Wake up, Morty.
Is this just a Rick and Morty fan fiction podcast now?
It sort of always was.
Yeah, it's so true.
Yeah. What do you say?
I want
to do the opening.
I say
opening
we play
number?
The theme song. Yeah. Here we go.
Woo! Oh, yeah. This is going to be a fun episode.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, we got out to a raucous joking level.
Yeah.
Right out the gate.
Okay, so Jamie, what do you know about the FBI
okay.
already?
Well, let's start with the letters themselves.
Go on.
F, federal.
Yes.
B, booby. I, inspector.
Case closed.
Right? Case closed.
As the FBI would
say.
Yeah,
I learned that from a t-shirt I saw once in a San Francisco shop.
I think, registered sex offenders are legally required to wear those t-shirts yeah. so that you can identify them clearly from a distance.
Yeah. No. FBI. Federal Bureau of Investigations.
Yes.
It's a secret government organization that deals with crime.
Yeah. I mean...
And internal affairs? Internal affairs. No.
Domestic
affairs.
Yes. Yes. I mean, everything you said is sort of correct. They're not secret,
right?
Because we know about them,
huh.
Right?
Wow,
and,
my mind is already getting blown.
Look, this is a thing. Like, secret police mm-hmm. are a thing. Like, the KGB were a secret police organization,
yes.
And people knew they existed. But what that means is, like, they're not... they don't have any oversight. Like, they operate completely closed and in secret, so you don't know what they're doing, and they're not accountable to anybody except whoever's in charge, right? They're not, like, accountable to the people or the government or whatever. Mm-hmm. The FBI is not like that. That being said, they are kind of like that. I mean, like, I'm going to be real with you here. I feel like I will not be able to explain things as in depth as perhaps we would all like me to, because it's the FBI. They're pretty like close-lipped about a lot of stuff that they get up to, and it's not super easy to just Google like where they're at a given moment.
You're saying that,
surprisingly so, and in fact, I might be on a list now.
You're saying that even the long reach of Google cannot infiltrate the quiet walls of the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
No, even the mighty throbbing cock of Google cannot penetrate the chastity belt of, you know, the boys in blue and secrecy. Or the boys in blue are police and people, not FBI, but let's just glide gracefully over that horrible error I just made.
Okay, then that's everybody. Just take a deep breath.
Yeah.
And lower our expectations. Yes, classic Jules Fade quote.
Shout out.
Congrats. Julian Fade.
Congrats, Jules.
Julian Fade, very funny man.
Yeah. Okay, so the FBI is, as you said, like a national wing of the Department of Justice that investigates crimes that and security threats that occur through the United States. That's like basically all they do. It's pretty simple. They're like the national cops, right? There used to be all kinds of problems with police officers having jurisdictional problems investigating things that had really big scope, and so they created the FBI, and that smoothed all that out. The FBI was created in 1908 in response to the assassination of President William McKinley in 1901. So it took them 7 years to kind of act on it. There were always intelligence organizations of some sort in the United States, but they were formalized when McKinley was shot by an anarchist, who I believe his name was Leon Czolgosz. And they were worried that there was like a coordinated anarchist threat in the United States at the time. This was before anarchists were just people who like shopped at Hot Topic and listened to like the weird punk music.
Right.
They still have an ideology. There are still real anarchists, but they were like a political movement in a way that they're more just like individualistic shit disturbers now.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, I was going to say, isn't the idea of an organized group of anarchists a little bit of an oxymoron?
Like a little bit, but like, you know how Jamie and I both have an improv background, and you know how people are like, well, how do you rehearse for it if it's improv?
Right.
It's like anarchists sometimes organize because like we don't live in an anarchist society and they wish we did. So they like, you know, they know that they're not like stupid. They know that we'll have, in order to like create the conditions for anarchy, they might have to organize and leverage power. Right. Like it's like, right. It makes, you know, like that.
Okay. Anyway, they shot Mr. McKinley.
So they shot President McKinley.
In 1901.
A anarchist, yeah. And the U.S. government was worried that there was anarchists all over who were going to do all kinds of crazy shit. But they didn't have a way to coordinate their investigations into those anarchists across the country. So the FBI was created, or rather the precursor to the FBI was created. It went through a number of different names and was finally named the Federal Bureau of Investigations in the 30s.
What, do you know any of the other names?
Just Bureau of Investigations was one of them.
Strike Force.
Yeah. yeah. Strike Force Cobra.
Yeah. yeah. Ironside.
Yeah. Hoover's Boobers. That was a dark period.
Hoover's Boobers?
Yeah. yeah. The Fancy Lads. Ooh. It was grim. The uniforms.
Hoover's Boobers sounds like a rejected name of a breast pump.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. It probably also was developed by the FBI. Boomer. And the FBI.
Hoover's Boobers.
The FBI was kind of a pretty, precursors to the FBI's. They did kind of what they do now. They investigated large security threats to the U.S. and investigated crimes of national importance or of particular significance, right? They've acquired, they did a lot of things informally, like for a long time. Like the FBI, they have a lot of power because they're a branch of the Department of Justice, so they're permanent and not tied to whatever government is in power at the moment, right? So they outlast governments, right?
Right.
Governments are often quite wary of the FBI, and we're going to get a lot more into our friend J. Edgar Hoover, who's kind of like the father of the modern FBI.
Right. Who also was father of
Hoover's Boobers. That's correct. Yeah. Oh.
Are you saying Boober?
Yeah, Boober.
Boover, I thought.
Boovers. That's so much better. Boover. I like it even more.
Boovers. If you took nothing from this podcast, one thing, please let it be Hoover's.
Carry it forward. It was a majestic standard that you could carry into battle.
So J. Edgar Hoover, shortly after inventing the vacuum, invented the FBI.
The breast pump, and then the FBI.
That's right.
J. Edgar Hoover was the FBI director from 1924 until 1971. He was the FBI director for 42 years. And because of that, many people have said he was the most...
Talking.
Oh, I see. That gesture meant keep talking.
Yeah.
Now this is going to stay in because I think these mistakes are charming.
This is the second
time podcast. The window-related podcast. Yeah.
Man, people like to drag race in front of my house.
Yeah,
so
maybe it's the FBI.
You think?
I mean, it doesn't seem like the kind of thing they would do, but isn't that exactly what they would do?
Should we stop talking directly into these microphones?
What?
I thought you brought them.
I thought you brought them.
Can you imagine?
Wait, wasn't this podcast your idea?
What? No. The boobers. Can you imagine if that's how the FBI trapped people? By just leaving recording studios lying around?
And it's like,
I want to start a podcast about something that I only keep secret.
For some reason, me too. So J. Edgar Hoover, that's what we're talking about. J. Edgar Hoover was the director of the FBI for 42 years, from the 20s until the 70s, and because of that has been called many times like one of, if not the most powerful single American political figures in American history.
Yeah.
Like, he modernized the FBI. So the FBI, like I said, it had precursor organizations that did what the FBI does, which is investigate crimes of a national scale and importance. And also gather intelligence on foreign countries who are operating in the U.S., right? So, you know, there's the CIA. The CIA does foreign operations, right? So the CIA gathers intelligence outside of the United States. The FBI gathers intelligence inside the United States, right?
CIA is like secret agent shit, right?
Yeah. It's the foreign service.
Right.
And the FBI is like the domestic service.
Hmm. Because Canada's got CSIS.
Yeah.
Is that only internal or is that also external?
It's really only internal. And Canada doesn't actually have an official external intelligence service. It shares intelligence with the UK and the US, but there's been moves a few times to create a Canadian Foreign Service, Foreign Intelligence Service, but it has never really succeeded. So right now we just don't have one. We have informal. Do a lot of the stuff.
JTF one
is the Canadian Foreign Service. Oh my God! It all makes sense now.
Yeah.
Hey, what's that red dot on your head?
How do you mean?
Oh, weird, it went away. Something just shined in my eye. Nah, it's probably nothing.
Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah. So J. Edgar Hoover, when he was appointed the FBI director in 1924, he did a huge series of modernizing reforms to the FBI. It was a pretty inefficient and corrupt organization, honestly. Like, and he kind of centralized it. He created all kinds of stuff that the FBI is super famous for now, like the FBI Academy in Quantico, right? Like, that's a pretty famous pop culture thing. J. Edgar Hoover created that. He created the FBI Laboratory, which, like, at the time in the 20s and 30s, like, modernized all of the fingerprint gathering, information gathering. He created, like, the first database of fingerprints and identification of people so that you could have a national database of criminals and suspected people and people you watch and stuff. And he really cleaned up a lot of the organization, which was quite corrupt before he got to it. Now, those are all really good things that J. Edgar Hoover did, and that's why they say that's part of how he created the modern FBI. He was also fucking crazy.
Oh, yeah?
Like, he was a paranoid, power-hungry, insane guy who... All of the cartoonish shit that you have heard the FBI doing, he actually completely did with no shame whatsoever.
Right.
Like, it's pretty nuts sometimes.
And with nobody really breathing down his neck.
No, and in fact, the exact opposite. Like, he actively used the FBI to gather blackmail material on congressmen and senators and presidents and government officials, and then would blackmail them essentially into, like, not investigating his wrongdoings, in looking the other way while he, you know, moved money around and made himself rich, and stuff like that. So, like, by the time of the Truman administration, which was the 40s, right, the late 40s, Truman was already like, J. Edgar Hoover's crazy, and they're making the FBI into like a secret police organization that operates separately from the United States government, and that's super dangerous. And by the time Nixon was in power in the late 60s, he was like, I'm terrified of J. Edgar Hoover, and they're actively doing things to not make him mad. Like, he wanted to fire him, but he was worried that J. Edgar Hoover was going to strike back at him. And apparently, when J. Edgar Hoover died, Nixon said, that cocksucker, finally.
Really?
Yeah. J. Edgar Hoover was also closeted gay. Not very well closeted.
Right.
He had like a long time lover who was also an FBI agent.
Where's that movie?
Yeah. It's holy interesting. Hell, right? So he had to be completely secretive about it.
That must have been pretty hard.
In the earlier days, he was a little more public, and there were like well-known pictures of him cross-dressing, and it was a kind of open secret that him and this man were in a long-term sexual relationship. Mm. But and J. Edgar Hoover even like participated in some like gay advocacy groups and stuff like that. But J. Edgar Hoover became incredibly paranoid about communism and viewed it as the number one threat to American life, and that super colored a huge amount of what he did with the FBI in his later years, when he really went off the rails and did a lot of crazy shit. Yeah. And then he started kind of engaging in a lot of reprisals against gay groups and stuff like that. He started targeting them and infiltrating them and getting them shut down and things like that in a kind of weird self-hating way. You know, he existed in an incredibly macho, power-hungry, control-hungry culture, which he presided over, right? Like, that stereotype of the FBI of being, like, a boys' club and things like that, you know, like, swaggery, bravado-y agents who operate above the law, that's Hoover. That's all Hoover. He encouraged actively that kind of a culture.
And that's around when they changed the name to the Federal Booby
Investigators. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
they're like, we're not gay.
He's like, I'm not gay at all. Yeah,
yeah, I check boobies 6-7 times a day.
Yeah, easily. That's why I'm a booby investigator, guys. Would I be doing that if I was gay? No. So, like, among the crazier things that J. Edgar Hoover did,
I just have a quick question. Oh, yeah, was he the real germaphobe guy, or am I thinking of someone else?
You might be thinking of somebody else.
You know that episode of The Simpsons where Mr. Burns gets really scared of germs and he grows his like fingernails out?
No, that's oh my god. The
Aviator?
Orson Welles, isn't that him?
Orson Welles. Oh, maybe it's
Orson Welles. No. Or it's like, who's the guy who did Citizen Kane? It's that guy. Isn't it Orson Welles?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think that's who that is.
Yeah. We could look it up.
Or is it William Randolph Hearst?
Here's how you
These
know
me and Richard. These are all old American guys.
Here's how you know me and Richard are honest broadcasters. Because
we're leaving this in.
We have the ability to look it up right now, edit around this, and make ourselves look like geniuses.
But we're just not going to do that.
The computer is sitting right there on the desk.
It's recording this episode, and I'm worried that if I start typing it to Google while it's recording this episode, it will light on fire.
Right.
I guess we'll never know. We'll get to it in a future Double Dip episode. How about that? Keep listening. Good.
Sounds
listeners.
Great. Listeners.
Stay on the hook for that. Okay, so among the crazy shit that J. Edgar Hoover did was this thing called COINTELPRO, which was just a weird smushed together word for counterintelligence program. But it was this whole thing in the FBI called COINTELPRO, which took place in the 60s and 70s. And basically, anyone who was a communist or suspected to have any ties to communism was ruthlessly infiltrated and discredited and harassed and intimidated and in some cases killed. And this super affected like the Black Panthers, right? As they had some ties to some communist groups and stuff like that. So they were like infiltrated, and the FBI deliberately tried to keep the Black Panthers and the entire civil rights movement in the US from uniting into a single movement. So they sowed discord between different, they like sent, you know, infiltrated the Black Panthers, so they had people kind of like become members of the Black Panthers who would then be like, you know, this guy's saying you're a real asshole. I heard him say it the other day. Like, they literally do shit like that. Like, they,
which is amazing because, as we all know, FBI guys are white guys with brown crew cuts.
Right, right. I mean, at the time, most of them probably were. Yeah, I mean, yeah. They would, you know, sometimes buy out informants too, right? Or they would, like, they right. would have informants in gangs all the time. That's how they buy people off. They get amnesty for them. In one really famous, insane, crazy case, they, like, literally for decades worked with a minor mobster to look the other way, let him control all of this shit. Like, the FBI agents were getting tons of money from him, and they arrested all of the other mobsters and then helped him avoid arrest for, like, literally decades. He was on the run for, like, 14 years once it kind of came out that he was this happening. The FBI helped him, like, wow. not get caught. And then when he finally got caught, like, tons of FBI agents lost their jobs. It was a huge scandal. So that kind of shit happened, right?
No wonder so many movies are made about the FBI.
Yeah, they've gotten up to a lot of crazy stuff. I haven't even said the stuff in the 60s yet. Like,
right.
Like, there's a huge amount of evidence that they contributed to the assassination of Malcolm X. However much or little they did it is a little bit up for debate, but they sowed the discord in his movement that led to him being assassinated. And, like, you know, there's people saying that they went as far as to, like, put the gun in the guy's hand and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
They sent a letter. They, Martin Luther King Jr. had an aide, like a close confidant, who had been a member of the Communist Party. And so they used that as a justification to start tapping all of Martin Luther King Jr.'s phone communications when he was in hotels and stuff and traveling. Then they found out, because they thought he was becoming a communist. They didn't find that he was becoming a communist, but they did learn that he was cheating on his wife.
Whoa.
And then when he was starting to become really prominent, Martin Luther King, they authorized this stuff 2 days after the I Have a Dream speech. J. Edgar Hoover signed the order to start surveilling Martin Luther King Jr.
I guess he wasn't a fan.
No, clearly not.
Yeah, he's like, but I don't see it.
This is the most infamous FBI misstep in FBI history. At one point, they were trying actively to discredit and ruin Martin Luther King Jr. And at one point, they sent him a letter telling him that they had all of these recordings of him cheating on his wife and encouraging him to kill himself.
Whoa.
Yeah, that they wrote, like, from the perspective of, like, an angry, like, anonymous stranger. But, like, King apparently knew very quickly that it was the FBI who had sent him this letter.
Because they had accidentally signed love.
The FBI. Yeah. Actually, it was printed. Whoa. The back side of it was a thorough investigation of some boobies. Yeah. And so, like, they'd, like, reused the piece of paper.
Who do I know?
Yeah.
That investigates boobies of this magnitude.
Yeah. So that, and wow. Like, and a third oh, and final God. Example. There was a film actress at the time, Jean, I think it's Seberg, Jean Seberg, who was like a film star, huge starlet, who had donated to some environmental groups and to some social groups. She had donated money to the Black Panther Party also. And she's a white actress. And they were pissed off. The FBI was mad that she had been supporting these groups who were suspected of sowing civil discord and stuff like that. So they planted a fake story with a gossip columnist that the baby she was pregnant with her husband, was like an interracial black baby. And when she read the story, which was in the LA Times, like they published it in the LA Times, she was so upset she miscarried and the baby died. And she was like, then spiraled into a depression for several years, during which the FBI made it very clear they were, like, breaking into her house and going through all her shit while she was out of there and, like, leaving it all fucked up.
Right.
And stuff like that, and, like, watching her from vans and letting her see that they were watching her. And she eventually committed suicide, like, shortly after that.
Wow.
So, like, all of this is real.
Right.
This all happened.
Wow. Right?
This is what I mean. We're like, and this is J. Edgar Hoover's own paranoia and feeling of entitlement to operate completely illegally and outside the law doing these things to protect American security. You know what I mean? And the FBI had at this time the broad power to do that. Right? Like, since then.
You can't argue with the result, Richard.
You know what I mean? That's right. America's perfect. And we are all jealous of it, which is why we're doing this jealousy podcast.
Yeah. It's like that Simpsons joke. I'll sell you this rock that keeps tigers away. How do I know it keeps tigers away? Do you see any tigers?
Yeah, yeah.
I will buy you a rock, Lisa.
Yeah. Well, like, yeah, and since then, since Hoover died, when Hoover died in 72.
FBI has been way less cool.
Yeah, well, because they finally, they kind of pounced on them. They constrained them with a bunch of new legislation and stuff. Because Sam was getting a bit freaked out by how off the rails he was getting.
Yeah.
As you could probably guess.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because now, watching older movies that feature the FBI a little bit, make more sense.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting thing. Mm-hmm. Like, when this isn't an older movie, but for instance, in Mad Men, when Donald Draper is afraid, he lies about something on a federal contract, and he's worried that the FBI knows, and he's seeing them everywhere he goes,
right.
And he doesn't know if it's them or not, and we don't know if it's them or not, right. But he's sure, and he's paranoid. But that paranoia is featured in lots of movies that take place in like the 60s,
yeah.
In and around the
because
FBI.
It was happening. It was right. Super real.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't know who's on your team.
Yeah, and I mean nowadays the FBI, honestly, like they probably aren't as crazy as under J. Edgar Hoover, but we don't. They do a lot of shifty things that we don't really know what they're doing at a given time. Like, they do a ton of surveillance, for sure. And the NSA, the National Security Agency, is the, like, surveillance organization in the U.S., right? So their job is to monitor communications.
And they're separate from FBI and CIA.
In theory. But, like, you know, it came out sort of recently that the NSA was being asked if it was like surveilling, if it was demanding that companies hand over, I think it was internet companies, like internet service providers, hand over information about their customers. And the NSA was like, no, we've never demanded that information. And it turned out the FBI was demanding the information and then giving it to the NSA, right? So they coordinate together to get like squirrel around laws and stuff like that.
Right.
The FBI is also definitely doing things like, they've tried to make people who make wireless routers create like backdoors for them when they on the hardware end, right?
Yeah, so
that they
can get into that,
wireless routers.
There was that big debacle with Apple where they wanted to get into the
iPhone. They wanted to create a backdoor in the iPhone.
Phone, yeah,
that's
yeah.
Right. And now the new hot thing is stingrays. Have you heard of stingrays?
No.
So stingrays are a electronic surveillance tool that you can somebody sets up that mimics a cell phone tower. So it looks like a cell phone tower, and your cell phone will connect to it when it's searching for a cell phone tower, and then it lets whoever's running it just look at whatever passes through it.
Yeah. I have heard.
Yeah. So the FBI is using stingrays also, right? Mm-hmm. So they're
collecting hackers use stingrays.
Right. Yeah. So they're collecting tons of data, and then they run investigations, and they're super close mouthed about them. I mean, now we're at the present, like, you know, they're an opaque and kind of closed organization.
Right. Do you think that FBI agents dream of like growing up and being CIA agents? Is that the way it works? Is that you're like, I'm a police officer or a soldier or something, and then I want a cushy government job, high profile, security, up to FBI someday.
It's like a hierarchy.
Yeah, hoop dreams. I'm going to be dealing with international issues.
I don't know. I don't know that there's that kind of hierarchy, because I think there definitely is a, like, I'm on U.S. soil, like, tracking down the hidden ISIS agents. Like, that's kind of like a badass thing. There is a weird hierarchy in the FBI, or, like, a super problematic hierarchy, where I think they changed this, like, more recently than they should have. But, like, there was this thing where, like, the hierarchy was like field agents, and then like everyone else counted as support staff. So like the intelligence analysts were like counted in the same category as like the janitors.
Right.
Like they just like the field agents were like the hot shit, and they just shit on everybody else, which caused a lot of problems, because then like they would be like, whatever, nerd, like I don't care where you think this bomb is going to be. I have a gut feeling, and then shit would go horrible. Like that's it. Right. Made up example, but like that's the kind of thing that the culture that they had for a long time,
right? It's a little bit of bullying in the
yeah.
in the high profile government organization,
but they do like literally today, a big news story came out where the FBI like entrapped a guy who was trying to join ISIS, like he he was like an FBI agent posing as an ISIS recruiter, and they got this guy who was like, I'm going to come to Jordan, I'm going to join ISIS, I want to kill Westerners. If I can't get to ISIS, I'm going to commit violence in the US. And then they like got him to meet their fake recruiter, and they, you know, arrest him.
Right.
So I mean, like, that's what the stuff the FBI is up to.
That guy is an awful negotiator. Yeah. I want to come to where you are and join your team. And if you won't let me, then I'll do some stuff over here, yeah, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, okay, do you.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So do you want to talk about?
Let's talk about
this current stuff.
Yeah, Mr. Why don't we open up with Mr. Flynn? Yeah. Michael Flynn is his name?
Yeah, so Michael Flynn was Donald Trump's national security advisor, and not Donald Trump's first national security advisor, because he has to get a new one now, motherfucker, who was the chairman of the Defense Intelligence Committee, which is like the highest military intelligence officer in the Army.
Okay.
And he had to resign his post because it came out that he had contact with the Russian ambassador about sanctions before the Donald Trump administration took over. So when Obama was sanctioning Russia for escalating actions in the Ukraine,
Russia was chatting to
Michael Flynn, probably having the conversation that, like, don't worry, we're gonna lift these or whatever after a little while or something like that, just to have that. And then he didn't disclose that he'd had that contact, which is, you know, shifty,
illegal,
shifty, both illegal and shifty.
Right.
So he had to resign his post. Now, we talked about the Russian thing like 10 days into Donald Trump's administration on our "What Did Donald Trump Do in the First 10 Days?" episode.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're a couple months in now, so it's worth revisiting. Okay. I still don't think Russian intervention in the American election had a serious effect on the American election.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that Russia caused Donald Trump to win and Hillary Clinton to lose. I think Hillary Clinton did a great job losing all by herself.
Right.
Good job, Hillary.
Way to go, Hill.
I get that Americans are upset that Russia intervened in their election and that there's a principle at stake, so I buy that. I don't think Donald Trump is a Russian agent. I don't think he ideologically secretly supports Russia, and I don't think members of his staff ideologically secretly support Russia. I do think it's possible that he had contact with Russia and made a series of deals to kind of look the other way on a few things or give Russia a bit of an easier time in some areas, probably in exchange for an absolutely enormous amount of money or business deals.
What do you say to the possibility of Russia having incriminating information on Donald Trump and are controlling him that way?
Some possibility, but I think that incriminating information about Donald Trump has been so bad at affecting him that I don't see how it could be so incriminating as to be that dangerous. Like, he's on tape saying he rapes people.
Right.
So at what point? What could it be? That's what I want to know. What could it possibly be that would make Donald Trump think twice?
He was... He was...
You got this.
You get, okay, check this. Yep. He was the survived miscarried baby of that 1960s starlet, and the father was... Ready for it?
Yeah.
J. Edgar Hoover.
Oh, shoot.
He wasn't gay. The boobers were aptly named, and Donald Trump was their love child.
Putin has that dirt. No wonder he wants to hush it up.
Yeah
that's dark. No, but I just don't think blackmail is an option for Donald Trump anymore, because he's such a fucking rapist, like, obvious rapist idiot. Then there's evidence of that, and it hasn't sunk in.
Didn't he just make a Sexual Assault Awareness Month or whatever?
I mean, yes.
So,
and as many much funnier women than I, like, tweeted out, like, like, Donald Trump has made me very aware of sexual assault. Thank you very much.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that it's possible that he is in a deal that's going to make him richer at the expense of giving Putin some leeway in some areas. I don't think he's a Russian agent, and I don't think that there's some sort of vast conspiracy to let Russia beat the U.S. up. But regardless, it's the FBI's job to investigate foreign countries' actions domestically in America, mm-hmm. right? So the FBI was going to investigate this kind of thing anyway, right? And they were already investigating it. It was revealed that they were looking into the Russian contacts like way before Donald Trump was even elected.
Right.
Like as much as a year out, they were already sniffing around the Trump campaign's connections with Russia.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
That there is like a group of people that can find that kind of thing before it's even started.
Well, they monitor like our phones and shit.
Right.
That's real. Like that, you know, like that kind of thing is real. Especially Russian ambassadors, Russian government people in America are probably being watched.
Right.
As American government people in Russia know probably that they're being watched.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So we have to mention now the current FBI director is this guy named James Comey, and he's been really high profile in a way that an FBI director has not been in a very long time. Mm. People say he's going to be the most important FBI director in living memory, probably. I mean, like, since... I mean, living memory is a weird way to put it. Like, in our lifetimes, you and I, probably. Yeah,
since
like,
the Hoove.
Yeah, maybe since the Hoove. I don't know enough about the FBI to know if there was another equally important one. Sorry, everybody. I could Google that, I guess, but I won't.
Yeah, because we're honest.
Double dip next time.
Double dip. Keep an eye.
But James Comey, he's on the contract until 2023 at the earliest, right? So Trump could fire him, but that would be... you know, problematic.
Right.
It would probably piss a lot of people in the intelligence community off, and he's already on kind of thin ice with them. You know, they have their own priorities, and you don't want to piss off the FBI. That's a pretty good rule of thumb.
Yeah. Yeah. Ask Martin Luther King.
So James Comey really exploded into public Junior. Prominence.
I feel like I need to throw that.
Ask Martin Luther, the father of Lutheranism. The FBI fucking killed him. Yeah. They invented time travel, went back, and nailed him to the door of the church.
I knew it. Time cops.
So James Comey, you know, you'll remember this. The first time he was in the news was when he announced that he wasn't going to bring any charges against Hillary Clinton for her emails.
Right.
Right? That was in, like, July. Mm-hmm. And then, 11 days before the election, he announced that because of a separate investigation, a bunch of new Hillary emails had been found, and they were investigating again the emails. And this was considered a crazy thing for him to do. It was unprecedented for an FBI director mm-hmm. to make an announcement just to say an investigation was happening on a presidential candidate immediately before an election. And the FBI is forbidden from disclosing information about ongoing investigations that intervene in an election. Mm-hmm. That's like something the FBI is expressly prevented from doing. So a lot of people were like, James Comey is fucking intervening in the election. He's trying to get Donald Trump elected right now.
Right.
And then Donald Trump won. And then it was revealed that actually the emails were nothing at all. And there was no charges were going to be laid. And people were really angry with him.
Right.
But then,
so you could say it was both unprecedented and
unprecedented.
Yeah!
Wow! 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 That's the CSI Miami.
Oh,
you got it. You got that.
I got it.
Yeah, and so, but then, like a couple weeks ago, James Comey went in front of Congress, and announced that there was a FBI investigation into Donald Trump's Russian connections that had been going on for quite some time. And then he refused to give any other details about it whatsoever. They grilled him for 5 hours and he basically didn't say anything.
Wow. Is it weird that I've always wanted to be on that side of a law bench?
Yeah.
Of like, just be like, you know, people grilling me, trying to get info out of me, and me being like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Go fuck yourself, officer. How
so,
about that?
Yeah. So this is a blow against Trump,
yeah.
Right? And when he was kind of getting questioned, the Trump administration wanted to question him about how the leaks about Michael Flynn happened, right? They want to make the issue, how are these people leaking information, as opposed to like, the information is really bad.
Right.
The content of the information looks bad on you.
Right.
But then it got steered around to saying many people in the Trump administration are being investigated, but Comey's not willing to talk about who it is. So now it's like, wait, what does he want? And I Googled what he wants, but it turns out you can't just Google the current director of the FBI's motives because he's the director of the FBI. So, I mean, a couple things about James Comey. He was a lawyer, a prosecutor, and then he and actually he prosecuted the Clintons in the 90s on a money case, like a spending case. And then he was the assistant attorney general under George W. Bush. And this is the most famous piece of mythology about James Comey is like the attorney general was really sick. He was in the hospital and he knew the White House people were going to the attorney general, hospitalized and weakened and not super coherent, to ask him to sign off on a bunch of provisions in the Patriot Act that would allow like crazy unprecedented surveillance. And James Comey found out they were going like hell for leather, like sprinted or drove or like as fast as he could, got to the hospital, got there right before them, explained the surveillance thing to the attorney general, and then sat there completely silent when the guys came in the room, explained it to him, and then the attorney general refused to sign it, even though he was like really sick and weak. And people often credit James Comey with like integrity and passion and stuff like that. Like people seem to think he has a lot of integrity. He's like a man of morals and integrity and values. I mean, in reality, they compromised on a lot of those surveillance things and after some minor revisions allowed them to pass. So I think there is a bit of myth making there. I don't know what he wants. I don't know who he is really other than those kind of stories.
Right. Because
he's the FBI apparently very funny.
Made of secrets.
Yeah, exactly. There's an opaque organization and they play by their own rules. Right. That's kind of their thing, right? Wow. They certainly aren't friendly with the current administration, but there have been many administrations that the FBI has been unfriendly with and they've succeeded in leveraging power over those administrations. So the Trump FBI dynamic will be fascinating, I'm sure.
Right.
What else? Just something weird factoid about James Comey. When he was like 13 years old, like a gunman broke into his house and held him and his brother at gunpoint. And then they escaped from the house and then he like found them outside and then they ran inside and like called the cops. Like, yeah, what a weird experience, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if that armed gunman knew in that moment what the person he was creating. Yeah,
that was Vladimir Putin.
Yeah. Boy, that'd be a good movie.
Yeah.
We should write a movie.
We should write this movie. Like, we should have all the things we've talked about.
Yeah.
It'll be an unwatchable mess.
Yeah. JTF 1.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
So that's kind of where we're at today.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's great. I don't know. I don't really have any more questions because the FBI just sort of it's the FBI, man.
Yeah.
Man, you know? I learned a lot about J. Edgar Hoover.
Yeah, he's a super interesting and a horrible way guy.
Yeah. I'm going to sound so stupid. Did he invent the vacuum?
I don't think so. I think Hoover's like a last name. Because like the Herbert Hoover was also the president, but like before J. Edgar Hoover was the FBI. Let me look. I'm looking it up for you now.
Okay, yeah. I love the amount of pertinent information that we just let slide. We're like, nah,
yeah, but
we
don't need to Google
this, but we gotta know who invented the vacuum.
Yeah.
And
Hoover vacuum history. I have to do a second Google.
J. Edgar Hoover, Herbert Hoover.
William H. Hoover.
Bill H. Hoover.
Yep. And he didn't even invent it. He just bought the other guy's patent and then marketed it under his own name.
Fuck you, William H.
Hoover. You fucking Jesus, bastard.
You should be erased from history.
But wait. He did it in 1908, which is the year the FBI was founded.
Wasn't the FBI founded in 1901?
No, that's when McKinley was assassinated. They weren't created until 1908.
Are you telling me that vacuums
are FBI agents? Yes. You're picking up what I'm putting down. Jamie, what's that red dot in your forehead?
What? Nothing. It's just a light that my vacuum...
Oh, God. Oh, God. What's happening? There's a helicopter outside. I could see 10 or 20 garbage trucks pulling up all around, and it looks like there's also several local florists' vans that have set up shop outside, and I think 12 or 13 IT guys as well. I'm not sure exactly what this means, but oh, wait. This isn't a microphone at all. It's a grenade, and
it's amazing how many of our podcasts get interrupted by exploded and shot and stuff. Yeah, with like secret organizations coming in through the window. We gotta record less close to the window.
Yeah, or close it once in a while.
Or close it once in a while before we start recording.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know. Maybe it'll be like our bit. Maybe that's what'll get us on Ellen.
Yeah.
What do you say? Should we do a little summation?
I say we should do a little summation.
I mean, yeah. FBI started when McKinley, who is the president of the United States, was shot in 1901 by an anarchist.
Yeah.
It was founded in 1908, incidentally, the same year that the vacuum was invented.
The year the patent was bought and started
by William H. Hoover.
So much less sexy. That will be rewritten for the movie.
Fuck Hoover, man. But the FBI was taken over and revised by a guy called J. Edgar Hoover in 1924. Yeah. 1924, and he ran the show until 1971.
Nice.
Thank you. Got it on my first try. And he and he's responsible for all the fun, like cartoony FBI stories that we know and love.
Yeah,
like
the horrible things. Yeah.
Like that time that he tried to convince Martin Luther King Jr. to kill himself.
Yep.
Or the time that he harassed that young woman so fiercely that she did kill herself.
Correct.
Or the time that they may or may not have instructed and equipped someone to shoot Malcolm X.
It all happened, folks. It's all real.
Yeah. At least there's no pattern of, like, racism or sexism. Anywho, and then the FBI, after J. Edgar Hoover was a secretly, not so secretly, closeted homosexual.
Oh, he also helped Joe McCarthy do the McCarthy trials. He, like, wasn't supposed to be part of it, but they quietly passed
him
information.
Well, it's a big job, Richard. Yeah. It's a big job. You need help.
Yeah. Joe McCarthy was always my favorite Beatle.
Yeah.
Wait. No, that's right.
No.
Yeah.
Close
your eyes and I'll kiss you. I'll give you the electric chair.
No, that was beautiful.
The Beatles.
Present day, Michael Flynn, Trump administration, da-da-da-da-da. There's lots of insinuations as to who's involved with Russia, in what capacity, when they were involved, FBI is on it and has been on it for a long time.
Yep.
James Comey. James Comey is the standing
the current director.
Director of the FBI.
And could be for the next 6 years.
Yeah. And he's looking into shit as usual. I wonder if the FBI ever has like slow days. You know, where they're like, what's going on?
It seems like if nothing's going on, they have a really bad tendency to, like, harass a bunch of people or surveil people for no reason or, like...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's something I always wonder about, like, big organizations like that. Because since 9/11, the news cycle has become a 24-hour news cycle. Yeah. And so... But there's not always 24 hours worth of news.
Mm-hmm.
So they're often... like either presenting stuff that's not really news as news, or they're maybe misleading us to make something that's not news feel like news.
Right.
And so I wonder that sometimes about government agencies like the FBI or like CSIS. Is like, if there's nothing to report on that day, do they start to create things to report on?
I mean, certainly, like, misinformation and lying about stuff is definitely a tactic that they have employed many times.
Right.
Like, they don't seem to have a huge amount of qualms about that kind of thing.
Right.
I mean, Comey, like, announcing that they'd found more emails 11 days before the election is kind of that.
Mm.
It wasn't news. It was a total non-issue. It was completely unprecedented for an FBI director to make this kind of announcement because there was nothing to it yet. right? Mm-hmm. Even when there might have been something to it, it was crazy to make a huge public announcement about the fact that new evidence had been found in a case, unless you're trying to influence the election, right? So like, that's a good example of that exact thing you're talking about. He like manufactured a massive news story, like a global news story, right, by making this announcement for no reason other than like maybe to push the needle towards Donald Trump a bit.
Huh. Weird.
It's freaky.
It's weird and mysterious, and I don't like it.
And that's the FBI motto. And also my personal motto in the bedroom.
Yeah. Weird, yeah. Mysterious, and I don't like it.
It's, spoiler alert, it's a squid costume. okay.
That's incredible.
Oh, Jamie.
Yay.
Oh, Jamie.
Yeah. Well, that seems like as good a place as any
to wrap up. Yeah. Well, so that's our episode for this week. If you have any questions or comments, you want us to revisit something, you have some more information about things, please hit us up. Let us know on Facebook, Explain It to Jamie, on Twitter at ExplainJamie, Gmail, explainittojamie@gmail.com. We will read the comments, and we will address things that you say to us in a future Double Dip episode.
Yeah, if this episode has whet your appetite for information on the FBI so much that you would like an up-close and personal experience with them, all you have to do is type "I want to join ISIS" into Google, and
that's right,
they will find you.
Yeah, that's right. Even Facebook. Actually, you could probably just say it out loud a few times near your phone, even if it's off, and they'll probably figure it out.
Yeah. Wait, Richard, do you see a red dot on your forehead?
What are you talking about?
Richard?
Oh, I laughed. I ruined it.
That's okay. People laugh when they're dead.
We're getting killed several times per episode now.
Yeah. Yeah. That means we're making it.
It's really just becoming a Rick and Morty fan fiction podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, this podcast exists outside of space and time.
I'm okay with that.
Me too, man.
Anyway, so please, if you like what you hear, check out our old episodes, drop us a line, communicate with us. We'd love to hear from you. Until then, I've been Richard.
I'm Jamie. This has been Explain It to Jamie. Woo! Ow, ow, ow! Dead, 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 dead! I'm dead,
We're all dead. Everyone's dead.
Yeah, FBI, cool.